This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to this, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Lady Gang. I am Becca Tobin, actress and blogger. Across from me is Kelty Knight, entertainment journalist.
Queen of Instagram.
And to my right, Jack Vanek, owner and CEO of Jack Vanek Clothing. My fun fact this week is that anytime I see something gory or hear about a gross story, my vagina throbs.
Wait, sorry, say this again.
What? Listening. Your vagina throbs?
My vagina throbs.
Wait,
like,
when?
If somebody tells me about a surgery or like if I'm watching like one of those makeover plastic surgery shows and they go in and they're like cutting open.
Oh,
my vagina throbs.
Is this your bad week?
No, this is my fun fact.
Oh.
Jack, are you here?
Are you in the room?
Welcome to the
Lady
Gang.
We're doing a podcast today. Are you ready?
I was literally reading something else while you were talking.
Well, perfect. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So there's my fun fact.
Would you like
me to embellish?
No, I have something to add to your fun fact because I thought this was going to be your bad week.
No, we're not even at the bad week yet.
Did you see
Jack
on the Pimple Popper, the lady that?
No, I don't watch that anymore.
You don't?
No,
she.
I watched it once. I fell in that rabbit hole once. I'll never go back.
She got rid of the cyst that was like the size of like a hunchback, and she had to literally reach underneath
the skin
with her hands.
My vagina is throbbing right now. That's what makes my
vagina
throb.
It was so gross. I watched the whole thing.
Gross.
My fun fact is that I have really small ears.
You've already used that.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
I'm using it again.
Okay, great.
I can't wait.
Hey, Lady Gangers, write us and let us know that you've heard this before.
I don't know if I might have
used Stacey, our producer, is shaking her head yes. So I think that you're wrong.
So the only thing exciting things. Oh, no.
She's also senile.
I have very small thumbs.
Okay, the small body
small.
Part is unless they're like
stubby
Megan
thumbs.
Fox.
No, it's like
thumbs.
I didn't fully grow.
Those aren't Megan
Compare Fox. Thumbs. Compare thumbs.
Well, I have really long fingers for my age.
Look at Jack's thumb compared to my thumb.
It's not that small.
I have a long.
I hate you all.
What's your fun fact?
My
Jack?
Fun fact, I think I might have used mine too.
No.
I'm afraid of feet. Have I used that one?
No, we've talked about it, but that's good.
I'm terrified of feet.
Do you touch Scott's feet?
No.
Okay.
And he always wears socks to bed, which I also think
is
psychopathic behavior.
That is psychopathic behavior.
So.
Well.
Okay. Well, it's time for.
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
What was my bad week?
My favorite thing, hold on, is that when the Lady Gang, like, tweets us and they tweet that guy,
they're
like, good week. Oh, yeah. And then they're like, bad week.
Oh no.
And they put, like, 100 O's in the notes. So
it is
funny.
It is good. That will never change.
No.
Never. I'm going to start.
Okay. Go ahead.
So my bad week is that I was on an airplane and I saw a commercial come on. I was watching the, like, live television. I don't remember what. Maybe Bravo, because that's the only channel I watch.
So good.
And there's this commercial that comes on, and it's for a product that's come out, and it's called like VI poo.
What?
What?
Yeah, it's like a potpourri, like a poo potpourri.
Oh, it's like
you spray poopery. Before you go.
It's like poopery, but it's like
potpourri.
But it's like somebody else came up with this,
okay, new
like
name.
Some big whatever VI poo. And here's what bothers me is that clearly everyone's listening to the Lady Gang.
Everybody in the world.
You came up with this idea.
No, but everybody knows. It, the girl who's in it is like, Her Majesty of Hollywood, and I sometimes need to take a poo, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like...
It's like a squatty potty.
And it's a blonde girl, an actress.
You're mad you didn't get cast in the poop photo?
That I didn't get cast in that commercial because I am the queen of pooping, and I talk about it. I'd like to know if this girl has ever laid out her dirty deeds in front of thousands of listeners.
We need to make a poop spray.
Yeah,
a Lady Gang poop spray?
It's coming. So, okay, that was my bad week.
Taking notes. Kelsey's literally writing it down.
That was my bad week.
Okay.
But here's my good week. From that commercial, I...
Got the poop spray.
I didn't get the poop spray, but she says something in it about getting rid of the smell from the devil's donuts. How good is it?
Amazing.
So now I refer to my poop as the devil's donuts.
I love that.
Because I love donuts and
it's
I love
so
pooping.
Good.
I love that.
Okay, Jack, you're up.
Okay, this is great because my good week also has to do with pooping and airplanes. It's like perfect transition.
Perfect.
So one of my really good friends is a flight attendant and her stories are like insane.
Amazing.
It puts our good week, bad week to shame every single story she tells me.
Let's have her start calling in and telling
we
us
should.
Stories.
And she works first class for this airline and she was telling me that James Franco like flies the airline all the time. And she says every single flight that he takes,
he
gets a coffee and a newspaper and literally sits in the bathroom taking a shit for like an hour. And so they've all coined, if somebody takes like a long poop in the bathroom,
Franco?
A Franco.
That is disgusting.
It's so good that
it's
they coined
so
he
good.
He brings it into the bathroom.
He brings his shitty airplane coffee and a or in a newspaper into the bathroom and just stays in there forever.
Who would want to be in the airport bathroom? It's the worst bathroom.
Airplane bathroom.
Airplane bathroom.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
that's disgusting. Would you rather go in a porta potty or an airplane? Neither.
The yard?
I'll
in the backyard.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
But okay. It's such a good term.
A
I'm like, I want to start.
We're going to use it from now on.
I'm going to go take a Franco.
Yeah.
So good.
So
wait, what airline is this? I want to get on the first class and be like, excuse me while I go take a Franco.
I can't tell you because I feel like she might get in trouble.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
JetBlue.
So
Virgin.
My bad week. My bad week. My allergies have been insane lately. Well, they're always insane. I'm always sneezing and whatever. My face itches, whatever. So I was driving the other day and my nose was all itchy. So I was like itching around my nose. My nose is itchy on the inside. So I'm like kind of like itching like the inside of my nose,
yep.
Doing a little itch. And I'm not really paying attention. And I have like my finger just like in my nose, just having like a scratch. And I'm like sitting at a stop sign or whatever. And I turn to the left and there's a car full of like hot teenage boys and they're all looking at me like I'm the most disgusting thing in the entire world.
You are.
My finger was like still in my nose as I like turned and looked at them. And I'm like, you guys probably would have thought it was
incredible.
God, this week is good.
It's good.
So good.
Kelsey.
My good week is that I was in 3 magazines this week.
Oh my
and
God.
And here's the coolest part. I was at a shoot and another publicist that's not my publicist came up to me and she's like, you're like always in the weeklies. And I was like, I know. And I felt
A-list,
really proud.
Baby.
Because I called the paparazzi
good
myself.
Good job.
But are you proud of me?
I'm proud of you.
My fame's really coming along.
How do you get in the magazine?
All kinds of shenanigans that we'll talk about in great detail at one point on the show.
Oh, okay.
Bad week?
Bad week. Guys, you know I'm a vegetarian. And I have been one for a long
probably
time.
Probably why your bones are so small.
Probably.
You have no protein.
I've been one since like 8th grade.
Exactly.
And
that's
one of the things.
That's what happened.
You haven't eaten protein in like 20 or 15 years.
Yeah. When, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm only 18, but okay. Anyway, so one of the things I like to do when I'm traveling for work all the time is order room service. It's my guilty pleasure because someone else is always paying for it in the 18% charge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I always, after a long shoot day, love to get like a vegetable and then a French onion soup.
I love
delicious.
French onion. You know it's beef stock, right?
I did not know that until this week. This is my bad week. My whole life, I have enjoyed a delectable cup of French onion soup as a treat, because I don't eat, really have dairy ever. It really gets me freaked out.
Why is this so delicious?
It's so freaking good. And it's so delicious and hearty because it's meat. It's actually bone broth.
Well, yes. Your bones are thanking you.
It's
that's
disgusting.
Probably the only reason why you're not
it's
dead.
It's probably the only reason you still get your period, okay? Thank you, French onion soup.
You better still eat it. It's so good.
Oh, I'm not eating it anymore.
Gives you the toots, though.
That's the cheese in it.
Well,
okay, what do we have coming up?
Well, it's not poop and it's not French onion. It's how to get your life on track. It's a new year. You got to be rich. And we have the original rich bitch here to help us with our finances, because honestly, I don't know how my credit card works.
Neither do I.
The Lady Gang Inquire.
Today is the day that we help you get your Lady Gang life together. Our guest is a TV host and New York Times best-selling author of the book Rich Bitch, which, P.S., I'm going to say it again, go follow us on Instagram because we're giving away an autographed copy at the Lady Gang. She's a judge on the CW show Hatched and writes a monthly column for Red Book magazine. She's always wearing super expensive, beautiful shoes, which is how I know she really has life figured out. Welcome to the Fake Rich Lady Gang podcast, the richest bitch of them all, Nicole Lappin.
Oh,
welcome!
Yay, bitches!
Welcome.
I'm so glad that bitch is the swear word we're allowed to say on our podcast, because there's other words we cannot say, but
really?
You're fine.
F-word. That's
can't
it.
Say the F word. First of all, why did you write the book? We're very excited. The girls are pumped. We said we're having a financial expert. The questions came rolling in. But before we start, what about you? Because you were on MSNBC, and then all these things happened, and then now you're a best-selling author.
Yeah, I was on CNBC and Bloomberg and CNN and all these like wonky financial networks. And then I realized that my former self, the girl who couldn't speak money, was so clueless that I broke out into hives thinking about money. Like, I'm first-generation American. I didn't grow up with a Wall Street Journal on my kitchen counter. Like, my boyfriend in high school said he wanted to be a hedge fund manager, and I thought he wanted to be in gardening.
Right.
Like, I was so clueless. So clueless. He dumped me, actually. Because I couldn't hang out with his Wall Street friends.
Oh.
And I think they want to hang out with me now.
I was going to say.
Saying.
Guess who's real sexy on the cover of her best seller?
Who's laughing last?
Seriously.
It's like brunette Elle Woods, basically. Because
I love that.
I love that.
I figured out the language of money, and I realized that it's a language like anything else. Like, we get so angry at ourselves for not knowing this stuff, but we learn like the Pythagorean theorem in school, but we don't know how to do a budget or like learn taxes. Why is that? And so if you go to China and you speak Chinese, like, you'll be really clueless. If you go to Wall Street and you don't speak the language of money, you'll be really clueless. It's okay. Learn the language. Period. End of story.
But it's hard for ladies because we're so torn. You know, there's like, you all have the friends, like one of them is like super frugal and is like making their own granola and like bringing their box lunch, and the other one is like has $10,000 worth of credit card debt. Like, it's hard to find that happy medium of where you can exist as a human and be responsible and fun. And that's what I loved about your book, which I read when it first came out in hardcover. And it was like so sassy because you were like, you can still get a blowout, you can still buy these shoes, but here's what you have to give up, here's how you have to like live your life, which I think is exactly what the Lady Gang needs.
Oh,
yeah.
So like, financial dieting is a lot like regular dieting. Okay, think of it that way. If you have some crazy juice cleanse or whatever, like, I don't even know what the popular paleo situation is.
Sounds about right.
It's air, Nicole. Yeah. It's the air diet.
Air,
you just have air and sadness. You're going to binge on something because you're going to be so hungry. Hello, that's Captain true. Obvious. If you do the same thing with money, you're going to be so deprived and so hungry. If you're like, I'm not going to buy a latte because some financial expert told me that that is my ticket to financial freedom.
Right.
Like, you're going to binge on a pair of Louboutins, let's get real, because you feel so hungry and so deprived.
True.
That's not sustainable. So I think of a budget as a spending plan in the same way as you'd think of a diet as an eating plan. An eating plan is something you can stick to. Like, you allow yourself a Hershey's Kiss so you don't end up binging or noshing on a big old hunk of chocolate cake in the middle of the night. Not that I know anything about that.
We've all been
because
there.
So hungry.
You're like, I did have a cupcake on the way over in my
obviously.
Car.
Obviously. Yeah. But you give yourself that latte or whatever the equivalent of the latte is, the blowout. So you stay on track and you don't binge later on.
Why do you think it is that that money is such a taboo topic with women? I feel like men talk about it so freely and feel like it kind of they know what's going on. And with women, we're all like, I don't really talk about money with my friends. Mm-hmm. Well, we talk about everything.
That's the thing. We'll talk about blowjobs and diarrhea. Am I allowed to? Yeah.
Okay, oh, this is the lady gang.
You've come to the right place.
Amazing. Before we talk about money, like, it's crazy. Like, we'll be at dinner and we'll be like, let's talk about the bikini wax du jour or whatever. Right. Like, some crazy invasive thing. But I'm like, hey, how much does your baby daddy make? And my girlfriends are like, what? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, we just talked about your vagina for 5 minutes. Like,
this is normal, right?
Just tell me. Like, I'm not here to hurt you. Or I want to help you. Like, let's talk about money because that's the best way to get ahead and learn more, to have that dialogue. But I think we're scared because we don't know and we didn't learn this stuff, like I said, in school.
It's kind of scary.
It's crazy. Nobody learned it.
It's okay. I'll give you a hug.
I know.
You're going to be okay, Jack. Okay. So I want to thank, first of all of the amazing women and like five guys in our Lady Gang Facebook secret group. I was so excited because, you know, we have these ideas of like, let's bring a financial expert on and I'm never sure if like you're going to like it or not. And we're like, is this going to work? And then we got so many responses. So I want to take the questions right from our ladies and figure out their lives for them.
Male rich bitches, like when they own, I love seeing them hold the book.
Yeah, right?
It's for boys, the five guys. Yeah, bring it on. It's for everybody.
Yeah, it's for everyone. Okay. What are three things every woman needs to stop spending money on that they're spending money on now? It's kind of a negative way to start, but let's start.
Well, I don't think it's about stop spending money. I think it's about figuring out what you want and then figuring out how to live the life you want with that money that you need for whatever that is. So many times women don't know what they want. Like the question that got me the most anxiety is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or like, what do you want to do in 5 years or 10 years or whatever? And I would be like, I want to do, and I didn't really answer the question. So like, once you figure out what you want, then you reverse engineer to figure out how to get the money to live the life you want. It sounds sort of touchy feely, but it's so basic. Like coming up with goals, I break them down into the three F's because I do love me some F words. family, finance, and fun. And so I literally just like broke it down 1, 3, 5, 7, 10 year goals of what that is, because some people are like, well, Nicole, if I only had $1 million, like my life would be so amazing. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, what do you want to do with that $1 million? Like, maybe you need more than $1 million. Maybe you need less than $1 million. Like, what do you want? So that's like the number one thing everyone should start doing is figuring out what they want before like trimming here and there. Like, it's not about clipping coupons or digging in the couch for coins or skipping a latte. Like, it's about bigger life goals. And a lot of times we get like pound foolish, penny wise.
What are the best? This was a question that was probably asked 25 times. A lot of our girls, they have been good. They've saved up a little nest egg and they want to invest it. And they're freaked out about the guys in the suits at the banks that want to take a giant fee. And they're asking, what is the best place to invest their money online without crazy fees that's sort of safe, you know? And I know that money, it's all about your own personal level of, you know, how much risk you want to take. But just in general, like, are there some sites that you would recommend? Are there some places to go look?
Yeah, I think first, you know, people get really excited about, oh, I have a little bit of money, I'm going to go invest, or I'm going to buy a house. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, hold on, sister. First, like, have that 6 to 9 months of an emergency fund that you never, ever touch. And if you're freelancing or if you don't have a steady job or whatever, it's more like 9 months to a year. It's more like a year, like stuff that you need to live on every single day. So put that aside, whatever it is. It's not the extras. It's not the blowouts. It's like rent and transportation and all of that stuff. And have that and make sure that is put
away. Like, if you're going to have to stop and drive for Uber, not that driving for Uber is not a bad job, but like if you get stuck and you're like, I'm going to go drive for Uber, you can still pay your rent.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So figure out like what that is and put that aside before you even think about investing. And then before you think about investing or house or whatever, like, is your retirement situation in check? Retire. Like, nobody wants to think about getting old, right?
Yeah.
Not the worst.
I'm trying not to get old. Botox.
Botox,
you need the Botox.
Under eye concealer. Yes, I'm all about that too. But at the same time, like a Roth IRA and a 401k are super easy ways. Who has a Roth IRA?
Yay, go team.
Wow, we're so adults.
But I want to ask you about this. I'm interested about that too. Wait, I'm going to come back to the IRAs because people asked about it.
Okay.
So hold tight on that. But if they have the checklist of the things.
And they, if they get there, then they're like, there's not one particular place I suggest, but there are like TD, Schwab, whatever does it for you if you want it all under the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Merrill Lynch has a B of A, and they also have Edge, which is fine. I'm not endorsing one particular one, yeah. But like you can get in for about $2,500. And the difference between a discount brokerage and a full service brokerage is that a full service brokerage is going to charge you a lot more for your trades.
And so what makes the most sense for our ladies? Can we do it ourselves?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when women especially tell me, like, I don't know anything about investing, you know, the biggest percentage of what drives our economy, around 70%, is us, the consumer. And so I've talked to so many fund managers or investors who go with their daughters to the mall and see, like, do they like Lululemon still? Like, is that hot? Like, or is Coach like, over. Mm-hmm. Like, Coach and Lululemon are both publicly traded companies. Like, mm-hmm. what do you think about these types of companies? Are mm-hmm. they on the up? Are they on the down? Trust yourself. Like, forget, you know, you don't need to necessarily know all of this data. And you as the consumer drives investing and stock prices. So like an E-Trade or a Edge or those types of things are really easy to get into.
And so like, say I have $2,500. If I go to like Vanguard, you can either invest, like I can go invest in Apple and Coca-Cola, or I can just be like, I want to put this in a mixed money market. What do you suggest? Do you suggest like the fun of going and being like, I love these companies? Or do you think just like a mixed sort of situation where they're going to pick, but they're promising, you know, 6% or whatever?
Totally.
It is.
And it depends on like how old you are and what's your profile and all that stuff. But if you do have time, if you're young and you want to play around and you're like, oh damn, I want to get into like Facebook early, like, yes, please, please do that. But otherwise, index funds, the mixed mutual.
Is that what that is? I don't even know.
It's totally, index funds are good because they basically like replicate an entire, you know, when you hear like the Dow or the S&P 500 mm-hmm. or the NASDAQ or whatever. So you're
what
basically like buying.
I hear that all the time. I have no idea what the Dow is.
Yeah. So the Dow is like the biggest 30 companies in the country.
Oh. Did you know that, Becca?
Mm-hmm.
You're so smart.
Yeah, girl.
You know.
Jack, did you know that?
No.
No, me either. Okay. 25%
I'm Jewish.
Smart.
Hello. We know these words.
Okay.
And so you're basically like buying part of the index and what the entire index and like basket of.
So you're buying a fruit basket of investments.
Totally.
Sometimes that's nice. Like, I feel like it's less overwhelming, at least for me when mm-hmm. I was going through the process. Like, I felt like to keep up, we keep up with so many things in our lives that the thought of just being like, I'm going to just do this one time and I'm going to make this investment every week or every month or whatever and not have to think about where it's going, it's sort of nice to do that. Like, it was less stressful to me, but that's just how I felt.
Yeah, I feel like unless you're like super into it and you like want to watch it like ebb and flow and stuff like that, you might as well go to somebody that knows what they're doing.
Me too.
Yeah,
like I'd rather just
look once a month and be like, oh, I'm up or down.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. A lot of our girls wanted to know, what is your advice for paying off their student loans?
Oh.
And
worst.
Student loans, and then they also cited our debt consolidation. Oh my God. Yes. Are they legit?
No. I mean, they can be, but it's just stuff that you can do on your own. You know, I think, first of all, negotiate everything. Like, whether it's
is a great thing that I learned from Nicole's book. Please really go into this.
Thank you.
So many girls can do this.
It's so easy, especially your credit card APR right now. And we'll get to student loans, but all of it is negotiable. Like, just because you get a credit card statement that says, you know, 14.9% or whatever, like, just because it's printed on a fancy paper does not mean it's gospel. Everything is negotiable. Like, your credit card APR is negotiable. I've saved women thousands and thousands of dollars a year. Like, you can buy all the lattes you want if you just get a couple percentage points off your credit card APR. I mean, it goes for your typical bills, like your cable and your utilities mm-hmm. and all that stuff too. Any bill collector, like the highest debt in collection right now is actually medical debt, and it's not student debt. And all of that stuff is negotiable too. Like, don't hide from the bill collectors. You have to talk to them. They're annoying and they sound super scary, but like, talk to them because they'd rather get a little bit than get nothing at all. And so if you can somehow create a settlement, like if you have a little bit of cash and then you can offer that to them, then that's better than screwing your credit, which will in turn give you higher interest rates for whatever you do. Your credit score is like their most valuable thing that you should focus on versus like clipping coupons or trying to like nickel and dime yourself. Your credit score is connected to like how much you get when you get a mortgage. Miss grown up.
Guilty. She just bought a house too.
Yay. Ugh, gross. We were really crazy about that. Like that was the thing that I never knew was like the interest rate being negotiable. Like to me, and I never even knew that that was something that was important because I'm an idiot. But like,
you're not an idiot.
It was really fascinating. And those are things that you only learn, I think, when going through the process, but it's super fascinating.
And so you're saying, so if I have a credit card and I owe 10 grand on my credit card and I'm getting charged 7% or 19% or whatever it's at that point, I just call up the credit card company and say, hi, it's Kelty. Here's the deal. I have $2,000 to pay you right now. I'll pay you, but take away the rest. Like, what's your advice? Give us like, let's do a fake phone call.
Like, well, I actually did this for Dr. Oz, not to like pimp out that segment, but I had this woman where I was like a Cyrano de Bergerac type of deal where I was like in her ear telling her what to do. And, you know, all you have to do is like spend for her. I had her keep asking for a supervisor, mm-hmm. like just be a dog on a bone. Like this is your money. So you might as well fight for it. And then at first they gave her like 2% off and I was like, ask again, like keep asking. She was like, oh, like, I got 2%. Like, I'm totally good. Like, I'm out. I'm like, no, keep going. And, you know, they'll throw you a bone versus losing you as a customer.
Wow. And so with credit card debt, or I mean, with student debt.
So, okay. Student debt is the last thing you should pay off. Figure out how to, okay. When people think about the debt is like my least favorite four-letter word. you have to prioritize your debt payments because they're not all created equal. And so I think a lot of people psychologically want to just like rip up a bill. They get something in the mail and they're like, oh, I have, you know, $100. I'm going to pay off the $100 Sally Mae thing, rip it up, like peace out Sally Mae. That's not the best thing because those interest rates are probably much lower than your credit cards and if you have a car loan. So it goes like this, prioritize to pulverize. First, your credit card interest rates are always going to be the highest. Second, your car loans, if you have a car loan, which you shouldn't because you should buy used cars cheap and run the jalopies into the ground. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Who bought a used? I bought my car used, but I still owe money on it.
I leased my car, but the reason is because
as a performer, you get a higher tax deductible.
Well, that, and I feel like I've been told, and this could be totally wrong, that you never make money on selling your car. Like if I buy a car, drive it for 5 years, like I'm never going to make money on that investment when I sell it. Like I'm always going to essentially lose money.
Rich bitch, so what do you think?
A car is not an investment,
right?
And neither is a house. So thinking about that from the idea of making money is just not
right.
The way to approach it, because mm-hmm. the reason car companies came up with the idea of leasing is because they make
ton of money.
You know what? Ton of money.
Yeah.
Obviously. And you're basically paying a new car price mm-hmm. for a used car because you're still driving it mm-hmm. and then you're giving it back. So it's not that you're not making money. You're not even breaking even or
right.
close, or you're just spending way more than you should.
Got it.
And so if you buy, so the greatest appreciation period is in the first 4 years of a car. So if you buy a car after that first 4 years and then you sell it later.
Well, see, my problem is I'm snobby and I like driving brand new cars. So it's like, for me, it probably makes more financial sense for me to lease a car than to go buy brand
a Tesla.
New cars, right?
She like really me. Wants she your wants seal of approval, know, Nicole.
I'm being dead serious. There's girls out there who like prefer to have, like, for me, like I really like having nice new cars. Like that's where I choose. So for me, I shouldn't go buying a brand new car, right?
Well, it depreciates the most in the first
4 years.
4 years, but like the most the first year. So uh-huh. if you can live with like
a 2-year-old car, then it's still better.
Or even a 1-year-old car. I can't even really tell.
Then it's still better than doing what I'm doing.
And if you're going to buy a car, like October to December is the time when the new inventory, and so they're more eager to give you a deal. Uh-huh. And in October, there are more, you know, choices. Mm-hmm. So the closer you get to December, it's just like people buy them.
I love this.
That was a good time.
Okay, so pay down your student loan last, though.
So then it goes your mortgage, and then it's your student loan. And, you know, look, they say debt is student debt is like good fat. Like, right. It's good debt.
I'm it's
like,
healthy fat. It's like it. An avocado.
It's like, but seriously, if you eat avocados all day long, like you're going to be fat or cashews right. or whatever. Right. And so
almond milk. Yeah,
do not binge on the student. Like, don't neglect it. Yes, it's good. Yes, you have a brain. No one's going to take away your brain. That's the thing, because they can take away your
car,
you know, your car. They can take away your house. They can't take away your brain. So that's the last thing you should pay off. And then you should think about doing it automatic payments. Mm-hmm. So like it comes out of your paycheck. There's no risk of not doing it. It doesn't feel as scary. It doesn't feel as bad.
Okay. Well, we just talked about should we buy a car versus lease. And now we know that Becca's about to sell her car, put her lease back in a new car. Now, this is very interesting. I love being a homeowner, but I did remember reading in Rich Bitch that you were like, do not buy a house. Rent your house. So let's talk
about
it. I'm
going to jump out this window.
Becca just bought a house, but it is really interesting. It's very interesting. And I will say owning a house is damn expensive. And all the ladies out there that own a house know. Because you have your mortgage, and then you have the insurance, and then you have the umbrella insurance, and then you...
It's super fun.
And you're looking for an electrician. Like, that's right. expensive.
Yeah, you're right. paying to repair everything.
My light bulb. Yeah. Okay, so rent versus buy.
So you look in the mirror and you're the landlord now. And yes. so you have all this stuff. So people say to me, like, Lapin, but like renting is like throwing away money. And I'm like, okay, that's like saying that spending money on food is throwing away money because you poop it up. Like,
it's true.
There is a cost for living, ladies. Right. Like, and there's a lot of stuff with a home that you don't get back. So closing costs, you know, all of the money that you're putting into the repairs and the everything else and the headache and the heartache and all that stuff. And so I think the idea of looking at a house as an investment is the wrong way to look at it. A house is a house. It's a home. And, you know, you're building your family. You are sort of like feel good about being there. Just don't be delusional that you're going to make a boatload of money because you forget about this thing called inflation. So when people think about like, oh, grandma bought a house when, you know, it was 50 grand and now it's worth like $1 million. And like, by the way, when grandma bought that house, like movie tickets were like 5 cents. And yeah. so a lot of times people don't equate the right prices and they forget about this like booger called inflation. Mm-hmm. And so, so when thinking about home ownership, it's super serious. Like, it's not just a thing, especially if you're moving around. A lot of young people are moving around. It costs so much to move. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like a, oh, let's just buy a home. You know, renting is, let's bring the sexy back to renting.
Yeah. Because
there are a lot of great places you can rent to, and you won't have all those extra fees along the way. If you're looking to grow your wealth too, because a lot of people say, like, you're growing this equity. Thing is that, like, the only time you know the value of your house is when somebody actually writes that check. Mm-hmm, you can like make this up from here to eternity. You'd be like, it's worth $10 trillion. Well, great. Like, it's only worth that if somebody actually writes you that check.
We had our appraisal done, and I remember my fiance getting so excited because our appraisal came back as being like a good amount more than what we paid. And I'm like, but like, it's not, I mean,
but you don't have that money.
We don't have that money until we sell it. And then we still might not even get that money.
Right.
Yeah. But
exactly.
it's funny. Yeah.
And the largest studies done over time, like if you take that in, the thing is a lot of young people, especially are house poor. So let's say they have $100,000 that they've saved up. They're like, okay, I'm going to put all of that into a down payment for a house. And then they don't have stuff. Like, they don't have money for other things.
Right.
And then you become a slave to your house. And the largest studies done over time have shown that housing hasn't even kept up with inflation. And so the reason to invest, going back to our previous question, is because of that thing called inflation. Because typically inflation is growing at about 3%. So you're typically getting 10% of the market. So subtract 3 from 10 and you're making about 7% generally otherwise.
Okay, what's going on? Now, here's the Lady Gang.
Okay, I want to pretend we have a listener named Jenny. And Jenny makes $1,000 a week. And she wants to know what percentage of her paycheck should we put away and where should she put it?
So, I love alliteration.
I love alliteration.
Who doesn't love good alliteration?
It's great.
It's a good one.
We talked about the 3 F's. Let's talk about the 3 E's, Jenny. Essentials, end game, and extras.
I love this.
So 70% of that $1,000, so $700 a week is what you're going to spend on for your essentials. So like your housing, your food.
I'm literally taking notes. I just want everyone to know that we're taking notes.
Take notes.
Cole's notes. No, the notes are Rich Book. literally, it's all in the book. But okay. You don't need to know.
Thank you. Yeah. And then 15% to extras. So $150 for Jenny for her blowout a week or her whatever. I don't care how you have fun. Like, I'm not going to tell you how to have fun. You do you. Okay. And when you're first starting to budget, think about taking that fun money out in cash. Because when the cash is done,
my old roommate in New York used to do this. It was so annoying. You'd be like, let's get groceries. And she'd be like, I have $7 left for the week.
But I always thought she was so anal. I want to do that too. And my mom actually does this. She like budgets for my sister who's like 35 years old. It's hilarious. But she actually does it in envelopes. Like they do the cash and like for the fun stuff. But I'm like, but then I want Sky Miles on my fun stuff. Like with my credit card, I get in that trap where I don't want to pay anything in cash because I'm Jewish and I love free flights.
Well, when you're first starting out and you can sort of like figure out what that $150 gets you and then you can sort of guesstimate. But like guesstimating is going to get you to,
You always go more.
I always go over.
Especially when you're drunk. Like it's so easy to swipe
bar for everybody.
I also wait
until I'm drunk sometimes to buy things because then I don't feel
like you. Late nights on Revolve.
I got it.
Always.
I really did that last night.
That's like probably the worst advice ever.
Yeah. Okay. No, don't listen to Jack on this episode
drinking
of
shopping. I honestly don't know anything.
Do not drink and shop.
Seriously.
And then that last $150 should go to the future, Jenny. So that's whatever you're saving for, like your end game. So your retirement, your savings, like you want to do a trip to Mexico. I don't care what you do. Like just figure it out. And then in your savings account, you can actually create sub savings accounts, which has helped a lot of people because you're visualizing what you're saving for. Because otherwise it just feels like a drag. Like I don't want to save more. Like I don't know where it's going to some like a dark abyss.
Right.
But if you're like Jenny's Mexico vacation fund, then you're like, oh snap. Like I'm there.
I'm gonna go. Right. Yeah.
I got 27 bikinis on the LadyGang.com blog, Jack Vanek.
I have another question. There's a lot of girls out there who are freelancing, and they don't know how much they're going to bring in every week, every month, every this. How do you budget when you don't actually know how, like, your earnings, what they're going to be?
And also with small businesses, too, that are cyclical. And, like, a lot of times they'll make the most money over the holidays. And so it's just in the same way as you're hopefully with your car, like, figuring out how many repairs you need a year or how much your insurance is a year and then amortizing, which is a fancy word to just say, like, figure out how much, you know, a week or how much a month you average for the entire year. So you can break it down into smaller chunks. So it's just about cost averaging and figuring out, you know, unfortunately, when you start, you're not going to be able to have a great gauge, so try to be a little bit more conservative. But like budgeting sucks. But you know what sucks more?
Not having money.
Being broke.
Being scared. It's not even being poor, because I've been very poor in my life.
It's the being scared.
Yeah, it's anxiety.
It's the anxiety of like, I'm not going to be able to afford my rent or my food, or like, I can't get the plane ticket, or I'm scared. I can't go to the doctor if you don't have health insurance. Like the scaredness of my early 20s of being poor is like, it haunts me.
I still get those anxieties where I'm like, I'm not getting a manicure this week. And then I sit there and I'm like, I'm not going to spend $25. Like
that's what I did today about buying a sweater. I was like, maybe I won't. Should I get it? I don't know.
I know.
I can afford it.
It's like, but then it's like what you're talking about with dieting. It's like, I'm going to be an idiot. And for 3 weeks, I'm going to be so stubborn and be like, I'm going to save $25 a week and not get my nails done. But then I'm going to go spend $400 on a facial peel.
Yeah.
Because I'm so sick of saving.
Or you're not going to negotiate your credit card interest rates that could save you a lot more money. So I think it's about changing your mindset and your finances will follow. It's also focusing more from a place of abundance. Like if I make more, then I don't need to save as much really. Like if I focus on investing in Kelty, investing in Becca, investing in Jack, like I'm going to make more money than like nickel and diming and like, you know, trying to like clip here and there. So I think it's coming to a place from abundance. And also like those, you know, envelopes that your family had too, it reminds you that like that $7 for groceries or whatever Kelty that your roommate had, like that feels like real money versus just like the swipe effect. And so you sort of, when you start tracking everything you're spending, it's sort of like my new kick where I'm telling women to stop saying I'm sorry, because once you start like tracking how much you say I'm sorry, it's crazy. So once you start tracking it, you'll see like
how much.
What's happening?
I want to talk about credit cards because I am 34 years old and I'm so embarrassed to admit this. I'm legitimately cannot understand how my credit card works. I know this is so stupid.
Either.
Okay,
no
so
idea.
Here's the deal. I have a credit card and I use it and I pay it off here. I pay it off every month auto pay, right? Mm-hmm. And then for a while I was like, well, it feels weird because it's like a month behind. So like I'll go and do a $2,000 auto pay and I'm like, yeah, my credit card is zero. Like I'll pay it off in full. And then I get the bill next month. I'm like, it's another $2,000 because it's like a month behind when you actually pay it off. I'm so confused. So anyway, I have a question. If I'm auto paying it or at least paying the minimum, am I then paying the interest rate? Like I never see the interest charge on my credit card. Do I have a zero? I know I don't have a zero interest rate.
The best way, I mean, are you paying it off like with the auto or you're paying the minimum?
Well, here's my question. Like I'm either paying it off total. And then for a while I was like, no, I'll just pay a little bit because we were buying our house. Was I paying interest when I just paid the minimum? If you pay the minimum, you pay an interest.
Yes. Like a ridiculous interest.
This is mind blowing to me. I can't believe that I have had the success in my life that I have had. And this, like, you know what I mean? Like I'm not a dumb girl.
No,
why don't I know this? Okay. Mm-hmm. So unless you pay your credit card off in full every month, you are paying some sort of interest.
So compounding interest too, which is like, we'll screw you in the
how much interest is it?
It depends. Everybody's different. It goes back to your credit score. That's why like that's credit score is so important because it's basically your financial
compounding interest on my credit card. Oh god.
So
just explain
like,
it. Tell us the truth.
But here's the thing. It's like I don't know what your interest rate is. Is it 15%?
Say it's 15%.
15% on like but then it's 15% of that.
So and they add the 15% month one, and then
it's 15% of that, the new total. So that's why investing is so awesome because it's compounding interest in your favor. Credit cards is like, you know, in some cases it can be criminal how high these interest rates are, especially for folks.
20%
stuff. Store cards can be ridiculous. Like I have graphs and charts and stuff that show like a pair of socks can turn into several thousand dollars if you don't pay it off. Like compounding interest will, that's why it's like the number one thing you should pay off before anything else. So credit cards are like, don't be, you know, a lot of financial experts will say cut up your credit cards and just be a debit devotee. That's not great because you do need to accumulate some credit. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't plan on buying a house, people are like, well, I don't want to do anything. Employers also look at your credit score sometimes when you're buying an iPhone or whatever, they pull your credit score. So like
or when you rent an apartment.
Renting an apartment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so having a good credit score is super important. But the best way to use credit cards, my most favorite perk of a credit card is the fact that you can dispute it. So like if you have all your money on a debit card and someone jacks your stuff, like you don't
you're
have
screwed,
any.
Right.
Yeah. But with the credit cards, like and if you have, especially if you have the money, you should be paying it off like zero, like goose egg
every
single
time.
Month. Yeah.
Okay. Great. I love that. Good to know. Good to know at 34.
I have a question and I'm
halfway through my work in life. Don't know how to credit card works.
I have a question.
Kelsey's going to be old bitch.
I'm writing my sequel, old bitch.
Yes.
Old ignorant bitch. That's how I feel right now.
Old dumb bitch.
My question, and I'm sure I'm not the only one out there. I'm sure there's so many girls out there who are dealing with this. Like, and I've been this way my entire life from being having no money to having, you know, a good amount of money.
Yeah.
I get so terrified to look at it, like to go in and actually see, like even to look at my credit card statement, like I, or my bank account or whatever it is. It's like, I have this thing where I'm like, if I don't see it, it's not there.
That's
or like,
I
if I don't see it, it's not happening. How do you change your ways and like just face it? And it's not like I'm even acquiring, I don't have debt, but it's still just like the little things that I just like, don't want to see how much I spend every month on my credit card. I want to like pay it off and like never look back.
Totally.
Yeah, money's scary.
It's
for
so scary.
Agreed. And like if I am the least likely person to be a financial expert, like I was, as I said, so clueless, like I knew nothing. I have been scared. Like I've been there. That's why I was like, there has to be a better way to talk about this because we're all freaked out. And I think like burying your head in the sand, like you know, especially when it comes to money, there's no better way than just like putting on your big girl panties and just like dealing with it and like take a shot. I don't care. Whatever you do. Like, it sucks for everyone. That's the thing. Like, you're not alone. Like, they call me some, I have like some alphabet soup nonsense after my name for like financial certifications. But like, I was just as clueless, like the most clueless of them all. And if I could do it, like anyone, I tell you, anyone can do it.
What's the credit score? Sorry, good, Jack.
I was going to say, I think also because, I mean, I know nothing about like financial anything, that's why it scares me. And when you were talking about it before, it was like in a place from like a powerful place where it's like, you know, I'm taking initiative of this and like doing it rather than just being like, oh God, I'm so scared.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well, I think a lot of women too, they only get their financial you know what together when they like get divorced or like their husband dies. And like, the truth is, like, you know, just it's about like channeling this mentality more than anything else. Like, it's your own mind. It's your own negative thoughts that are screwing you. The math is like what a fifth grader could do. Like, the math of money is not scary. Yeah. It's the cultural interactions.
Yeah.
It's the interpersonal stuff, especially when with relationships.
100%. So weird. Two more questions from our girls. Number one, first one is, what credit score should we have? What's the score?
The higher, the better. It's from 300 to 850. So, like, it's super competitive, especially now, like, if you're trying to get a house. So, the higher, the better, like, the closer to 800.
Some of our mamas out there asked, saving for children's school, how much? Someone told me $500 per kid per month.
Okay, no. So,
Rich bitch says no.
So, here's the deal with kids. Like, I don't have them. I froze my eggs. We could talk about this on a whole other podcast.
Yes.
You're coming back.
The biggest thing to like focus on, you know, like kids and family is the thing that's going to affect your finances most. As a mom, I can only imagine you want to take care of your kid. But it's like when you're on a plane, put your oxygen mask on first before helping others. And so, you know, I'd ask this person and the answer is probably no, because I've had this conversation 50,000 times. Like, save for your retirement first, max that out first. Like, your kid might not even go to college. Like, they should negotiate, like a small rich bitch in the making should or whatever. Get scholarships, deal with it, get student, like all that stuff. Like, you will not be helping your kid if you show up to their couch like eating cat food when you're old. Like, that's not helping anybody. You want to take care of your kid? Take care of yourself first.
That's such a good point. That's like so, I mean, like, people forget about that. Like, my parents always said, you know, like, if they weren't giving us things and we were being brats as, like, high schoolers, whatever, college, whatever, they're like, wouldn't you rather, like, take care of some of this stuff on your own and make sure that, like, we're going to be okay and not showing up at your front door to be taken care of later because we've spoiled you so much and we bought you houses and blah, 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 blah. Like, and that to me, as we're getting older, is so important that I'm not going to have dependents being my parents because they were so smart in saving their money.
Yeah. Well, here's the BS about retirement is that people will tell me, oh, Nicole, like, no, I got my retirement. Like, I have a 401k. I'm like, okay, sister, like, 401k is not going to save the day in retirement. Like, that's going to get you cat food. Like, I don't know what marketing genius has like made the 401k like the darling of the retirement world, but like, that's not going to save your life. And guess what? You have to pay taxes when you take that money out. Mm-hmm. Like, people forget about that all the time. They're like, look at my juicy 401k. I'm like, by the way, taxes are going to go way up.
Yeah.
And like, if you're not maxing out all of your options for you, if you have a business and you have other options, the SEP, the simple, all super fun other IRA options, it's not like one. You pick one and you max that out. Like, all of them. Do all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The last thing was 401k versus Roth IRA.
So more the merrier. If
I
you have
also
both
let
options.
Everyone know that I have a Roth IRA and I don't know how it works. It's $5,000 a year.
$5,500 is the max.
But is there like you make enough money that you can't give it to it anymore or something? I don't know.
Yes, but you can always sort of transfer from another. So there's this weird loophole where you can do in two steps what you can't do in one, which is crap, but whatever, it still exists. So you can contribute to a traditional and then...
Okay, can you explain what they are? 401k versus Roth IRA? Because I think a lot of people have no idea. Do you guys know?
No clue.
Becca?
No.
Okay. So an IRA...
God, I'm so embarrassed for us.
No, we're good. Look at all the things we're learning.
It makes me feel like I don't know anything.
Shout out to Eloise. We're learning.
But the only way to do it is to talk about it. Come on. Rich bitch class.
So 401k first.
So 401k is through your employer. Okay, so it's, you know, it's an employer retirement account. And so you're contributing and you're paying no tax. So it accumulates, but you're paying tax when you take that money out.
So that's the thing where on your paycheck, if you check in with your employer, if you make $1,000 a week and you're like, ooh, it'll take $200 before you pay taxes, and then you'll only pay taxes on the $800 of your paycheck.
Girl, look at you.
I do have a I had a 401k when I was a Rockette. Thanks, Rockette. That was really nice. You don't understand?
You spoke too fast.
Okay, so you don't pay tax. Well, no, but let's explain it. Maybe the girls didn't get it. So, like, you. So if you got a, sold $1,000 of Jack Vanek t-shirts a week, and then you had a 401k, it would take money out of your... and you wouldn't pay tax on it. So it's like instead of making $100,000 a year, you'd actually make $80,000 a year. You'd be taxed on $80,000 instead of $100,000 because it comes tax-free.
Yep.
Got it.
And then you... and then that accumulates. And then... when you're an old sexy lady. Sexy beast.
When you're an old
rich bitch.
Irreverent. What are we calling it?
What?
An what did I call
old,
you? Ignorant.
Old ignorant bitch.
No, girl. Nobody's ignorant here. No. Everybody's a smart, sexy, sassy, badassy rich bitch. And then the difference between a Roth... okay. So there's also sometimes a Roth 401k option, which is where you should... generally try to do that option if you have it from an employer because you're paying taxes now. I know you're like, why do I want to pay taxes now? Good question. But I would say I'm not a betting woman, but taxes are going to go up, and bet on yourself because your tax bracket is probably going to be higher when you're older. So your tax bracket is probably lower now because you're going to just keep making money. Stacks on stacks for everybody.
By the time you're older. Maybe for everyone but me.
So it's better. And in fact, it's better to, you know, diversify and have like different options, but do the Roth option. An IRA is an individual retirement account. And so that goes with you wherever
I had go. No idea it meant individual retirement. It's literally IRA. I just thought it was code. That's hilarious. Wow. Okay, continue, please, Nicole.
We're the worst. So you can, like, depending on where you work, like, if you work for yourself, you have some super fun retirement, like, options that are solo 401k. Get excited.
Ooh, I don't know what I have, guys.
But if you work for somebody else, you can also get, like, go to your bank and open up your own IRA. And so it's, as Kelty said, $5,500 a year. It's, you can divide that in any way you want between a traditional and a Roth IRA.
So if you made, like, $1 million, you can still only put $5,500 in there.
That's right. But you also have other options. And, you know, a 401k max is much higher. I think it's like 16 something.
Yeah.
And wow. And so the same thing goes for that, the tax diversification. So Roth, pay tax now, don't pay tax later.
I think when you're old, you don't want to be paying the tax.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you want to just be on your island in Costa Rica. Okay, well, Nicole, it's clear that you're going to have to come back again
for Rich Bitch number two,
because I think we just skimmed the surface because now I have like 100 questions, but we do have to move on. Seriously. Because there's other areas of the Lady Gang life we have to fix. So when we come back, Nicole is going to hang out and fix the other parts of your life that she can't fix with a budget.
Hey, ladies!
Funky. Ask the Lady Gang.
All right, welcome back, guys. So for this part of our podcast, you're going to help our listeners answer their questions about non-finance related things.
Oh, God.
Yeah. What'd you do?
I cut her open with my cord.
And Kelty is messing everything up.
Sorry.
So you're going to help everybody answer. We have questions about love life, relationships, business. So we're not good at it either.
No,
we're pretty bad.
I think all together, like, we could be an adult.
One adult.
Yeah.
There's one.
We will make one.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd bring to the table, but I'm going to think about it.
Okay. Do your best, Becca.
Before we start, if you guys want 20% off of jackvanek.com, use code LADYGANG at checkout. And if you guys have a question for us, you can write it in at theladygang.com. And you can be anonymous if you want, if it's juicy.
If it's juicy juice.
All right. Our first question comes from Hannah. She says, one of my childhood friends is getting married in 3 weeks, and I have not received an invitation. I received a save the date a few months ago and an invitation to the bridal shower. We don't live in the same town, and I was unable to attend the shower due to other obligations, but I'm sending a gift. It looks like I'm no longer invited. Right after she got engaged, she told me I better be at her wedding. I would love to hear y'all's opinion on how to handle this situation.
She doesn't want you there.
What?
What do you think?
Yeah, well,
if you don't get invited, you don't get invited. People ponder over their wedding list so much.
But she got to save the date.
Oh, maybe it got lost in the mail.
That's what I'm thinking.
I had that just happen to me this summer. I got to save the date, yeah. And then I never got an invitation, and I had to ask my friend to, like, super sleuth and be like, is Kelty still invited? She was like, yeah, and she had the wrong postal code.
Maybe ask a friend close to the bride to, like, do you a solid and just ask. Or if you guys are close enough, just text and be like, listen, I got the save the date, but I didn't receive the invitation.
And be passive aggressive. I don't care either way, but...
I don't really want to go anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, if she got us saves the date and she also talked to her at her engagement, I think that she's invited.
Yeah, I'm tacky, but I would never send a save the date if you were on like a not
definitely on the B-list. List.
That's kind of whatever.
Okay.
No lady drama. Yeah, yes. I don't do girl drama.
Okay. All right, our next question comes from Britt, and she says, my good friend recently got in a car accident.
Oh, this is so bleak, you guys.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
Oh, my God.
P.S. So this girl did not get hurt in this car accident. Her car just had a dent in the front bumper, and the very next day, her parents bought her a brand new 2016 car because of it. She keeps talking about it and posting it all over Instagram, and I'm honestly annoyed by this. Does this make me a bad person? It's not so much that she's getting new things. It's about the excessive bragging.
First of all, you should never buy a new car. Nicole just told us that.
Yes. Come to it from a financial perspective.
Why are you so dumb?
It's such a better perspective than we usually come to things
in. Maybe that'll make her feel better. No, it won't, because her parents bought it. Who cares?
Yeah, she doesn't give a shit.
I mean, I've talked about this all the time. I hate the bragging on social media, but like sometimes people just do it and you just have to deal with it.
Also, like, how much is she posting about it?
Is this the Ferrari? Like, are you Kylie Jenner and you bought Tyga, like a Lamborghini? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's the only thing she has going for her life.
That's what I'm finding, too, with my friends, is the ones that are, like, kind of struggling, they're overcompensating on social media.
It's the ones that are posting the inspirational quotes.
Like me.
I love them.
Yeah, Nicole. We're the same. I knew there was a reason I invited you. What do you think?
You're super positive. You two get it with the positivity.
You do.
But I think I tend to, like, under-brag. Like, I'd rather show, like, the nastiness than, I don't know, the fanciness like makes me very uncomfortable. Like,
it's also,
I'm on a boat.
Like, I mean, if I was on a yacht, I'd
okay.
post about it.
Also,
sure.
I don't feel like your friendship's gonna last forever, Britt. You'll be fine.
Okay, our last question comes from...
She's annoying you now on, like, Instagram. This is not your lifelong friend. It's fine.
Our last question comes from V. Vayet. I don't know how to pronounce your name, but it's pretty. She says, recently I've been really doubting who my inner person is. Many times I've had panic attacks that were very scary, and I wondered to myself, who am I? I really develop who I am through my style, but that's what I'm always changing. I was goth, bohemian, chic, and many other things, but I never felt like I fit into those titles. What should I do when trying to find my style?
Sweatpants. Well, Jack, why don't you take everyone down memory lane of all your looks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my scene kid days, but I'm still an inner scene kid. I'm always a scene kid on the inside, so...
I don't even know what that means.
Yes,
I was trying
hair.
To sneak backstage in
scene
music
kid?
Concerts.
Yeah, that's
a
thing.
I was a scene queen.
Oh.
My girlfriend's daughter, by the way, is 2 years old, and we just asked her, Daphne Oz, who's lovely and adorable and has a new book too. She said, are you a princess? She's like, no, I'm a king.
Ooh.
I was like, yes, girl.
Yes,
yes, girl,
yes.
The future is feminine. The future is feminine.
Female.
I think, girl, you just be whoever you want to be. Some days I'm like an athleisure sports girl. Some days I'm in a gown. Some days I'm like in a lady boss blazer and a pointy toe pump. You can be all the things. You don't have to just be bohemian.
All the things.
I think though that's one's the easiest to wear without underwear.
It's so easy.
But this is such a deep question. Like, she's doubting who her inner person is.
Yeah.
Like, your inner person is much more than what you're wearing on your body. Like, the inner person that you are is probably a very, like, loyal and... you know, fun and thoughtful and generous. Like, there's probably all these very, very, very good qualities that make you you, and you should tap into what those are. And that means you can wear whatever you want. Those things will always be there.
That was the nicest thing you've ever said on this podcast.
That was so nice.
It felt really weird.
Haters gonna hate
on
iTunes.
She's rubbing off on you.
Yeah, she is.
I went to Spali this summer.
Ooh, isn't that like a pretty life-changing experience?
It sort of did, and I'll give her the cliff notes of it. They have these bracelets that like are three braced strings smooshed together, and that's what you should do to find your balance, is realize you have different personas. You're Kelty the wife, Kelty the host, Kelty the podcaster, Kelty the friend, Kelty whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you have a lot of faces, and it's about, like, stringing them together and just true. Realizing it. You're so just deep. One yeah. you.
I
just
think one that when you're young, you do go through that like struggle where you're like,
well, you're trying to fit into a certain group too. So it's like once you kind of decide what your likes and interests and things that make like your soul happy, rather than just like looking in a mirror, I feel like that's when you'll actually find who you are. Anyways, yeah.
True happiness. True happiness is over on our Instagram right now, you guys, the Lady Gang, because Nicole's book, Rich Bitch, is being given away to one of you right now. She's about to open it up and sign it. It's a New York Times best-selling book, and it has all the things we talked about and so much more. You guys are going to love it. I absolutely loved reading it. I learned a lot from Nicole. Nicole, where can everyone find you on social media to follow along?
At Nicole Lapin.
Yep.
All over the place.
Yep. L-A-P-I-N. And we're going to tag her.
Making it happen.
And ooh. What's the site?
Lapin making
it. Is it just NicoleLapin.com?
Yeah.
NicoleLapin.com. And you have like little blogs and stuff up there and all that like interesting information.
Super fun thing.
Guys, follow us at The Lady Gang, at It's Becca Tobin, at Jack Vanek, at Kelty Knight. Make sure you go on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. And I want to hear what you thought of our expert episode. We're very excited about it. And on that note, see you next Tuesday. Yay! Woo!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com. Thanks for listening.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.